So I'd like to begin with what we will do at church Sunday in our pattern of worship-based prayer, where we will take a section of scripture and examine it and then pray it back to the Lord. So today we will pray to God, worshiping him from 1 Samuel. Lord, our prayer is, please open our eyes to your love and truth. 1 Samuel 15:22. What pleases the Lord more, offerings and sacrifice or obeying him? Lord, our prayer is, please allow each of us, our prayer is, please show each of us where we have replaced you with things or activities. 1 Samuel 15:22. It's better to obey than to offer sacrifice. It's better to do what he says than to offer the fat of rams. Lord, our prayer is, lead each of us into paths of obedience to you. 1 Samuel 15:22. Refusing to obey him is as sinful as using evil magic. Lord, we pray, please soften our hard heart. 1 Samuel 15:23. You have refused to do what the Lord told you to do. Lord, our prayer is, please show us where we did anything of this disobedience. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider how handsome or tall he is. Do not look at the things people look at. Lord, our prayer is to see people as you do. 1 Samuel 16:13. Samuel took his flask of oil and anointed David. The Spirit entered David like a rush of wind, God virtually empowering him for the rest of his life. Lord, please refresh our experience of you and your Spirit. 1 Samuel 17:45. I come in the name of the Lord of the angel armies. Lord, our prayer is, please lead us from here today with this attitude, and all say amen. So I recorded this message from the Gospel of Mark for April 14th of 2024. Jesus Heals Blind Bartimaeus is a title. Mark 10:45-52 is our text. So Mark 10:46-52. They spent some time in Jericho. As Jesus was leaving town, trailed by his disciples and a prey to people, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Thaddeus, was sitting along the roadside. When he heard that Jesus, a Nazarene, was passing by, he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And he tried to hush him up. They yelled all the louder, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped in his tracks. Call him over. They called him. It's your lucky day. Get up. He's calling you to come. Throwing off his coat, he was on his feet at once and came to Jesus. Jesus said, what can I do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. On your way, Jesus said, your faith has saved you and healed you. In that very instant, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus down the road. That's the end. So my outline, Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. Point one, Jesus have mercy on me. Point two, Jesus stopped and called him. Point three, your faith has saved you and healed you. My introduction goes like this. Mark is concluding his section of his gospel, and we could title it On the Road. Mark ends the on-the-road story with a healing of a blind man. We may remember that in Mark 8, 22 to 26, Jesus began his on the road section with the story of healing a blind man. The first blind man's healing and the second blind man's healing are very different. The first healing, the blind man was taken off to the side, spit was applied two times to his eyes. So the beginning of the trip demonstrated his healing and power through physical touch and spit. Here, Jesus only speaks and the healing is accomplished. The first healing was private as Jesus could get it to be. The second healing is as public as you could possibly get it. I think these accounts are a contrast of these two blind men could see what the disciples and others could not. So I think these are two different healings at the beginning and the end are a contrast. The two blind men, they could see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and were miraculously healed by their faith. With the disciples and others, they could not see it yet. Many of them didn't understand who Jesus was. They couldn't see the truth, even though they saw all the miracles. Next, let's take a look at the context. Where are we and what are we going on to do? We're on our way up to Jerusalem to celebrate Jesus' last Passover. Jericho was the only large settlement that a traveler would pass through when they were going up the Jordan Valley to Jerusalem. Jericho is located 5 miles west of a major crossing of the Jordan River. Jericho is 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Jericho was 3,500 feet lower than Jerusalem. So every mile one walked, they went up over 200 feet. That may not seem like much as we sit here, but I'm sure that if many of us walked 15 miles in one day and we were going up a 3,500 foot hill, it would feel like a lot. There are many pilgrims doing the same thing that we're doing, going up to Passover in Jerusalem. The fact of many pilgrims may help us understand the large group of people with Jesus who are headed towards Jerusalem. So our outline, Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. Point one, Jesus have mercy on me. Think this through with me. Blind Bartimaeus cried out and proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah and the King in David's line. How did he know and understand these truths? How did he know it? This is the only time Jesus has visited Jericho. How did a blind beggar get this wisdom and this truth? What are you thinking? How could that happen? Since a blind person would not be able to work, blind people commonly made their living by begging. Bartimaeus picked a good place on the main road to Jerusalem. So think about it. This guy is a beggar. Where is a better place to be than sitting alongside the road where these religious pilgrims, with all they need for Passover, are heading up to Jerusalem to beg for money? Pretty smart. Mark 10:47. He heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. So he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." A on your outline. Bartimaeus heard Jesus was passing by, and heard is your blank. Have you ever wondered how many people have heard the truth of who Jesus Christ is and did not respond? How many people do you think there is that they heard the truth of Jesus and yet have not applied it to their lives, have not believed it, have not received it by faith, like blind Bartimaeus? Maybe they thought they knew what was best. Rather than trusting Christ, they knew what was best. On Jesus' day, and on this day, Jesus is speaking to people who seek him. He is still reaching out to people who seek him. Can you hear that? Can you hear that truth? That the gospel, the Spirit, is not dead. It's not written. It's speaking. It's living. Mark 10:48. Many people commanded him to stop. They told him to be quiet. He shouted all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Be on your outline. People told him to be quiet. Be quiet are your two blanks. Why? What are your thoughts? Why do you think they told him to be quiet? I don't know why they did this, and the Bible doesn't tell us why they acted this way. My best guess is their pride. Their pride is why I think they told him to be quiet. They thought they knew what was best for Jesus on that day. And what they thought was best for Jesus on that day was to keep going to Jerusalem and not spend any time wasted on this blind beggar. He couldn't see. He was a lower class. So they tried to keep him quiet. Have you experienced people encouraging you to keep quiet about the truth of Jesus Christ and your experience with him? Has that happened to you? I have experienced in my life things with Jesus Christ that are kind of odd or unusual, but I think they're of the Spirit. And when I would try to share that with some of my friends, they would say, "Willie, you better just keep that one to yourself. That was really pretty weird." Has that ever happened to you? Mark 10:47. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he could begin to shout even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then he rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." See on your outline, Jesus is the Son of David. Son of David are your three blanks. Son of David, this is the first time Jesus is called this title in the Gospel of Mark. The Old Testament prophesied the Messiah would be a descendant of David. One of those places is in Isaiah 11:1-5. This time is the only time in Mark that someone addressed Jesus as Son of David, a messianic distinction based on 2 Samuel 7:11-14. 2 Samuel reads like this: "May the Lord bless you. He will be kind to you, faithful to you. David will treat you well for being kind to Saul's body. Now, be strong and brave. Your master Saul is dead, and the people of Judah have anointed David to be their king over them." That's the end. And that's where the title, David, the king, Son of David, came from. When Bartimaeus used this title, it was clear it had a political implication. Jesus didn't do anything to stop him from saying that with people listening. This gets me thinking that Jesus was now ready for his identity to be widely known. Jesus doing the healing of this blind man in a very public setting adds to my belief that Jesus was ready to have people believe he was their Messiah. There is a clear political implication in proclaiming Jesus is like King David. Next week, when he makes his triumphal entry, this will fit him very well. Jesus, the Son of David. So our outline. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. 1, Jesus gave mercy. 2, Jesus stopped and called him. Let's look at that. Stopped and called him. John MacArthur writes this: that the way Jesus said, "call him," in context would be a strong rebuking of those who tried to silence Bartimaeus. So MacArthur reads it that when Jesus stopped and told the people to call him, there was an implication that they had not done the right thing in trying to keep him quiet. Mark 10:49 reads, "Jesus stopped in his tracks. Call him over." They called him. It's your lucky day. Get up. He's calling you to come. The Message translation says, call him over. The NIV Reader's Version, call for him. The NIV, call him. I wonder, why do these translators not read it the same? Why do they translate it so different? A on your outline. Jesus calls people to himself. You have four blanks. Call people to himself. Bartimaeus was blind, but he heard and responded to Jesus' call. How would you evaluate or grade your performance in healing and responding to Jesus' call? He may be speaking verbally today through his Holy Spirit. Jesus can use the written word of our Bibles as well. Reading and responding to the Bible truth may be easier for many people than trusting the Holy Spirit's whisper. I found that to be the case, that many people, even though the Holy Spirit is here and is with them, they trust what they can see, feel, touch, and read way more than what the Spirit of God is whispering quietly to them. Mark 10:50 says, throwing off his coat, he was on his feet and came to Jesus. Be on your outline. Bartimaeus left everything he had to come to Jesus. Everything is your blank. It's very likely that this coat or cloak may have been the only possession Bartimaeus had. Since sitting here, it may seem easy for a blind man to throw his coat or his cloak off to the side to follow Jesus. That may seem easier than giving up and leaving all that we have. So Jesus challenged the rich young ruler, sell all your possessions, give them away. It was too much for him. Here, Bartimaeus is doing that. He is forsaking everything he owns to follow Christ. How would that sit with you today? Jesus' call is to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. We have nothing more valuable in our life than knowing and following and experiencing him. That is the most important thing. Loving him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and surrendering in obedience to him. See on your own. At once, Bartimaeus came to Jesus, and your two blanks, at once. Bartimaeus is a great example or illustration for us. Immediately, through obedience, to try and follow Jesus' command is a correct response. Yes? No? Would you agree with that? Immediate obedience to the commands of Christ, that's the correct response. So then, when you see or know a truth, immediately obeying it, obeying your King, is the right response. Yes? No? So our outline, Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. We look first, Jesus have mercy. Second, Jesus stopped to call it. And our last point, your faith saved and healed you. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus heals this blind beggar. This is the last healing miracle in the Gospel of Mark. This blind man received his sight by believing Jesus is the Messiah. He is unlike the blind generation who rejected and will shortly murder Jesus, literally in just a few days from here. So blind Bartimaeus believed he was the Messiah, and the generation around him, not so much. Your faith has healed you, the Bible says. This man's recognition that Jesus is the Messiah prompts Jesus to heal the man. A on your outline. Bartimaeus was healed, and your blank is healed. Now, I chose the word healed for a very specific purpose. It's a very unique thing. The word Jesus used heal is a Greek word sozo, and I like it because I can pronounce it, S-O-Z-O, sozo. It refers to physical healing and spiritual salvation. This word includes salvation and physical healing. Mark 10:52. On your way, Jesus said, your faith has saved and healed you. In that very instant, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus down the road. There it is in black and white, or in my text, red. Your faith has healed and saved you. Bartimaeus was healed physically and at the same millisecond was redeemed into spiritual salvation. Think about that. Bartimaeus' physical and spiritual eyes were likely opened at the same time. The word healing reflected his inner willingness for salvation. So there was something inside Bartimaeus, this faith, that prompted Jesus to save him and to heal him with just a word. B, Bartimaeus recognized and confessed Jesus as his Messiah. So I gave you five blanks. Recognized, confessed Jesus, his Messiah. His faith in Jesus as the Messiah brought about his healing and salvation. Our faith and confession that Jesus is our Messiah brings his healing and salvation into our lives as well. One knows and also applies faith in Jesus Christ. There's a major difference between knowing about Jesus Christ and knowing him personally, internally, as one's very life. There's a big difference from knowing about someone and then knowing them personally. And knowing him personally, internally, intimately, surrendering to Christ as one's very life, that's what is expected, required. Here's my conclusion. We don't know how long Bartimaeus had been blind, but it only took a millisecond for him to decide to call Jesus for help. Jesus met many spiritually blind people, some religious leaders, his family members, and people in the crowd. Though their eyes were fine, they could not see the truth about Jesus. But blind Bartimaeus heard the report that Jesus was coming and boldly cried out. In coming to Jesus, we need Bartimaeus' boldness. We must overcome our resistance and doubts and take the step to call on Jesus. Bartimaeus had not seen Jesus' miracles, but he responded in faith to what he heard. We have heard Jesus described in the Gospels. May we be like Peter, who wrote, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexplicable and glorious joy. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Just like Bartimaeus was after his healing and salvation, our experience should be as close as we possibly can to that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how good it is to know that you are our God, how faithful you are, how wonderful you are to us. Humbly, like Bartimaeus, we pause, stop, and call out to you in this moment to heal us, to restore us spiritually, to freshen our experience with you and refresh your spirit within us, clothe us in righteousness, and lead us from our study today into a day and a life of obedience to you as best we understand. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Every day this never-ending pressure tries to take its claim over my heart. I have tried to hold it all together, but time and time again I fall apart. But that's where I find my life was never mine at all. But you are the one inside, always in control. So when it feels like all control. So when it feels like all of this pain is never gonna help, brought to my knees by all of these things I don't understand. You are strong enough. Only you can take this out of my hands, out of my hands. You're greater than all my sorrows, worthy of all my trust. Thank you, Lord, that this is out of my hands, out of my hands. Out of my hands.